Do you have enough? Okay, I call to order the House Committee on Education for the 17th of April, 2015. Welcome. We've got quite a lengthy agenda today. So what we're going to do is do some hearings and then work sessions. And so we want to make sure that people kind of watch time. And you'll know when you're going too long because I'll get very antsy up here. So anyway, that's what we're going to be doing. We're going to be having no public hearing or work sessions on the following bills. 2710, 3072, 3166, and 3189. So we'll be dealing with those on Monday, or not at all. So the first thing I'd like to do is open up a public hearing on House Bill 2016.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2016, the committee's been asked to consider the Dash 2 amendments. The Dash 2s do a number of things, and the Speaker of the House is here to speak to the committee.
Okay, thank you. Madam Speaker, welcome.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity. For the record, Tina Kotek, State Representative, House District 44, North and Northeast Portland, and Speaker of the House. Really great to be in front of House. Ed, today, thanks for taking the time. And first off, I want to say thank you to the generosity of the committee for a very late bill. There's been a few things going on in our office, so this was dropped rather late. So I really appreciate the opportunity to have a hearing and potentially move it on. So what you will see for House Bill 2016 is a Dash 2 amendment. I believe it's an OLIS. We wanted to get something started. This is a complete replacement, so I would refer you just to the Dash 2, please, because it goes into more detail and provides more information for what we're trying to do. So you'll notice, and in my testimony is also online, our state report card is very clear. Our statewide data for outcomes related to our African American students are not what they should be. And you've seen the Dash 2, a whole bunch of statistics, so you know exactly what I'm talking about. And whereas with other groups, targeted populations in our K-12 system have approached dealing with these outcomes in ways of developing statewide plans, this is an attempt to follow that model. The Board of Education just recently passed a statewide plan for Native American students. We should have one for our African American students as well. So that's the point of the bill, to move the department forward, to have a statewide plan to improve outcomes. It directs the department to work with the Early Learning Division, the Youth Development Division, and the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to develop a statewide plan that addresses disparities experienced by African American students, historical practices leading to disproportionate outcomes, and educational needs of African American students from early childhood through higher education. Also talks about reporting back. My general hope with this bill, if we're able to get it right and move it on this session, is to build the momentum and do the work to get an idea of how we could invest further to improve our outcomes with African American students. I had a great conversation with Representative Hack about how we could even go further in our commitment. Perhaps we could even go as far as reserving a pot of money for the second half of the biennium, knowing that it's available. So when the plan becomes a little further refined over the next 6 months, then we can come back in the February session and say, okay, now we know how we want to spend this money, and we'd like to tap into that fund that we've reserved. I think an amount of $5 million for the second half of the biennium would be an appropriate target to shoot for. I think we need a little time to work with the department and advocates to figure out what exactly we want to do, what are good best practices. And I hope, even though I think I'm the only one on the bill right now, I want as many folks on this bill as possible. This is a bipartisan effort. This is not an issue that should, you know, be a political issue. This is all about serving our students as best as possible. And we're not doing well enough with our outcomes, and we have to improve them. So, colleagues, there are other people here who can talk more in detail about what is needed. I hope you'll give them your full attention. And thank you so much for the opportunity to talk about 2016 today. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Do you have any questions of the Speaker? Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to say thank you for the great dialogue that we had, and thank you for your willingness to take a look at the amendment. And I look forward to working together in a bipartisan way, and just wanted to say thank you.
You're welcome. Madam Chair and Representative Hack, while we have the Dash 2, which is a complete replacement, we might want to amend that. I don't know if we can turn around by Monday, but if we're not able to turn around and have all the paperwork on Monday, I'd be open to sending it on to the Rules Committee to finish it up. So look forward to working on that. So thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Representative Frederick. And then what we're going to do is we're going to actually going to gavel out and then have Representative Taylor come in and then close the hearing, reopen the hearing, close the hearing, reopen the hearing. Because that's how we do it. Okay, Representative Frederick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. As you can well imagine, I have a number of things I could say about this. I'm going to be very brief, however, and let the folks who are, some of the people who are sitting behind me, give you an example, give you some concerns and some perspective on what's going on. I will put it very simply. We know what can work. We haven't done it. We know what the statistics are. We haven't decided to do something about them in ways that are effective. This is an attempt, and I think a very appropriate attempt, to try to develop a plan that, in fact, brings in some of the best practices. Some of the people sitting behind me run best practices. You've heard from some of them in the past. You'll hear from them in the future, I'm sure. But they have examples of how they get some things working. The Black Parents Initiative is a good example, or SEI, or what Joe McFerrin's group as well. I mean, you have these people, the folks who are here, they know how they can really have an impact. They have not been given the chance to do it as well as they could. And if we put together the plans that show how to make things work, I think we'll be getting things better for everyone in the state. But we also need to look at some of the issues that come into bear that we have not talked about. The discipline issues are really important. When you start to see that young black kids are disciplined at a higher rate when they're in preschool than others, that's a significant concern. That's a perspective that's important to bring in there. So we have a number of issues that we could be dealing with. I will again let other folks speak to it. I think that this provides us a jumping off point that I think could be effective for a number of folks within the community and, frankly, for the state of Oregon, because I think it is time for us to recognize we need to be using all of the great minds we have in this state to move along. So thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Any questions of Representative Frederick while he's here? Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to actually temporarily close the public hearing on 2016 and open up a work session on House Bill 3319. Representative Taylor. And then we'll, once these folks have finished, then we're going to gavel out and gavel back in the other bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3319, the committee has been asked to consider the Dash 1 amendments, which replace the measure and require school districts to report to the Department of Education on strategies and activities used to increase high school graduation rates or reduce chronic absenteeism. It also requires the Department of Education to report to the Legislative Assembly each even-numbered year and describes the manner of the report. It further declares an emergency effective on passage.
Thank you, Chair Doherty, members of the committee. I'm Kathleen Taylor, House District 41, Southeast Portland, Milwaukee, and Oak Grove. Thank you for the opportunity to speak today about House Bill 3319 and the Dash 1 amendments. The Dash 1 amendments require each school district to report to the Oregon Department of Education about what they are doing to reduce high school dropout rates and address chronic absenteeism. This information will be compiled and sent to ODE, who will report to the legislature what activities and strategies are being used across the state. This information will give educators, administrators, school districts, and lawmakers a clearer picture of what is being done to increase high school graduation rates and reduce chronic absenteeism in Oregon's in our schools. The comprehensive nature of this report will allow us to assess the variety of strategies being used across the state. It will also help us to understand how these methods that different school districts are using in different educational environments, Oregon's mix of urban, rural, and suburban public schools. Again, the ultimate goal of this work is to find the best methods for increasing graduation rates and preventing chronic absenteeism and to implement these methods across the state. So I urge your support for House Bill 3319 and the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay, thank you. We heard this bill before, but these were the Dash 1 amendments. Are there any questions of Representative Taylor? Okay. The one thing I want to make it clear, the whole purpose of this bill, and it will be either worked through the amendments or the idea behind this, is not to make this a punitive thing, but to go through and almost as a handbook for school districts that sometimes don't have the resources to go through and deal with this. And they may look at it and say, oh, that school district is doing this, and we're about the same size, about the same, you know, rural or urban, and this is what they're doing, and we can do it. And so the whole idea of this is to have something that other districts can look at and glean and possibly start programs of their own. So that's the whole purpose.
Yes. Okay. Thank you so much, Chair Doran.
Okay, so we're going to close the work session on House Bill 3319 for a moment, and we're going to reopen the public hearing on 2016. And so if you could have Gerald Delaney, Michael Alexander, and Charles McGee. Thank you. Welcome, gentlemen.
Afternoon.
Yeah, it is afternoon already.
Yes, it is. So,
Madam Chair, before we start, if Rob Saxton.
Sure, Rob can
join us.
He's used to being stuck, put on the end, so.
We got to be nice.
Hey, thank you. So whoever wants to start out, please.
I got to go first. Thank you. Chair Doherty, members of the committee, for the record, Rob Saxon, Deputy Superintendent of Public Instruction for Oregon. And I'm here today to testify in full support of House Bill 2016-2 amendments. We have a problem, and it's a persistent problem, but also one which can be overcome with high-quality, intentional planning and action. The problem is an achievement gap which exists between our white students and students of color. Some people like to point out that there's a gap in outcomes between all students as compared to students in poverty, and that's true. A gap does exist, but all too often those students in poverty are also students of color. And in fact, when we break out our demographics for both race and poverty, poor students of color suffer outcomes below those of our white students in poverty. A close look at SAT results would actually show that our poor white students perform at about the same level as our wealthiest black students. I called it an achievement gap. Some people prefer to call it an opportunity gap, and I guess that's because it sounds nicer to call it an opportunity gap. The truth is that the gap in opportunity is what creates the achievement gap. But regardless of what we call it, it exists. And it exists to the greatest extent within two specific demographic groups, our African American and American Indian Alaska Native students. House Bill 2016 itself provides a wealth of outcome data demonstrating a disparity, and if you look at the bill, you can see what's listed there. You'll see that every key indicator along the 40-40-20 trajectory, third grade reading proficiency, sixth grade attendance, eighth grade mathematics, ninth grade on track, 11th grade English language arts, and 11th grade math, all provide evidence of disparity. The most telling, however, is the four-year cohort graduation rate, a rate of 53% for African American students and a rate of 51% for our Native American students. This year, the Oregon Department of Education, through the leadership of our Indian Education Specialist, April Campbell, was able to create the Oregon Indian Education State Plan. The plan was adopted by the State Board of Education just last week. It was written through deep engagement and listening to the Native American community in the state of Oregon, in partnership with Oregon's nine sovereign and federally recognized tribes, as well as in consultation with American Indian Alaska Native partners from across Oregon who live in the state but are not members of the nine recognized tribes. This plan has received accolades from across the West, and states are asking for copies and information about what has transpired. House Bill 2016 asked the department to develop a similar statewide plan for students, stating specifically, a student kindergarten through grade 12 who is African American or a member of a group that has experienced disproportionate outcomes in education due to historical practices. The Oregon Department of Education is enthusiastic to comply with the contents of the bill, and we look forward to hopeful passage. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, next.
Okay. Madam Chair, members of the committee, good afternoon. My name is Michael Alexander, and I serve as President and Chief Executive Officer of the Urban League of Portland. And I thank you for the opportunity to offer some brief comments today. In the most recent statewide report card of the Oregon Department of Education, it was demonstrated that black students continue to experience disparities in every indicator of educational success and preparedness. And while all of the findings were of concern, most concerning to me was the fact that less than 58% of our students graduate high school in 4 years. House Bill 2016 offers the potential for systemic intervention and funding of programs designed to address these educational disparities facing our youth, many of whom are located in communities that face other struggles in addition to education. As CEO of the Urban League, I'm acutely aware of the impact of underperformance of education in school systems to meet the need of black children. Education, however, is not the only systemic challenge facing our children. The 2005 State of Black Oregon report, which will be released on the 5th of May, underscores several other concerning findings. Nearly 30% of black families in the state live in poverty. The income gap between black and white Oregonians is wider now than it was before the recession. And 75% of black children in Oregon are eligible for free or reduced lunch. Eliminating poverty before a student enters the school system is one of the best ways to improve educational achievement and graduation rates. However, that belief is premised on the willingness of those who set educational policy and its supporting funding to provide the resources needed to make material improvements in how the unique needs of our children are addressed by educators and served by school systems. I'm somewhat of a history nerd, and I believe that the state should consider an approach similar to the Marshall Plan of World War II. That plan was an initiative to aid Europe in which the United States gave billions in economic support to help rebuild European economies at the end of the war. Its goal was to direct resources to war-devastated regions and to move them to a level of desired prosperity. House Bill 2016 can focus its efforts on all disadvantaged youth in the same way the Marshall Plan focused on devastated Europe. However, the Marshall Plan also allowed for significantly more attention to be paid to those nations whose need was greater. The State of Black Oregon findings would argue that a close analysis and assessment of the needs of Oregon's children would have black boys and black girls identified as populations for whom targeted, critical, and immediate intervention is called for. We ask that this legislation receive not only your close consideration, but ultimately your enthusiastic support.
Thank you very much. Next.
Good afternoon. My name is Gerald Deloney, the chair, the chair, the vice chairs, and all the honorable members of this committee. I'd like to really start by saying we are bound by our history, and the history of Oregon and African Americans has not been good. You know, if we go back to 1844, we'll find out that we were outlawed. And because we were outlawed, certain things happened that kept the population low until the past 20, 30 years. We were unable to do legal contracts in this state. So right now, we have less than 1% of all the contracts done on the state level, on the federal level, and on the city and local levels. And each one of those are economic engines that dump billions into our economy every year. So if we're doing less than 1% of those, that means that our communities are being left out. I won't even debate any of the educational data that is in this bill because it's there for everybody to see. But all those things are historic and they've been moved forward. But what I will say is that there is light at the end of that tunnel, and education is the light at that end of that tunnel. Because of work for self-enhancement, we are one of those best practices, and I brought some of my young people down here to be a witness to that. There's a back. SCI has always maintained a 97% high school graduation rate. 85% of those have gone on to college. So people do know how to get it right. The other thing that I have to say is that culturally specific organizations can get this done. You know, there's been always this myth that for some reason culturally specific organizations can't do it. We have always held ourselves to higher standards, and we're answerable to our own communities. So if we're not doing the job and not getting the job right, our communities will tap us on the shoulders and tell us, you're not doing this right. So my full support for this bill is to really take a look, and like Michael talked about this Marshall Plan, this needs to be as intentional as those inequities that were placed upon the community to get rid of it. I can't see doing it any other way. If that's the way the problem was started, then we have to be as intentional about ending this problem that we do have. So our full support is right there for the adoption of this bill.
Thank you,
Madam Chair and committee members. I'm Charles McGee. During the day, I work at the Black Parent Initiative. And first, I want to thank you all for your leadership. Truthfully, you know, I believe that today is an important and critical day and hopefully a restart. You know, you heard earlier from our speaker, and, you know, not only is this an opportunity to be bipartisan, but this is also an opportunity to begin to turn the dial. To begin to do something, to not look back, but to look forward, to speak about the opportunities that exist, because we know inherently our children are a greater representation about our future. So as you all sort of begin this process and know not only that you have allies in the community who want to get this done and we're committed to it, but also allies in the broader state that are looking forward to working toward getting better outcomes in our community. So thank you all for your hard work and for your leadership.
Okay, thank you. Any questions? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't know if maybe staff can answer this or one of you, but I got the impression in listening to the speaker, we're looking at the dash twos, which are totally the bill at this point.
It is the bill now.
But I heard references to getting it right. So are there parts of this that aren't quite right yet, or where are we at in that process? I got confused hearing a couple different things.
So, there are some there are various amendments and various sort of pieces that, like for instance, working with Lori and folks at OEA, we're going to be making some sort of edits moving forward.
Okay, right. And it's just a whole idea. Some of this might have to be done on the Senate side,
exactly,
because of the deadlines that we have,
exactly,
for Monday.
Okay. So if we could, Madam Chair, Lori from OEA would like to say a couple words as well.
Okay. Can we get through this panel and then with questions,
thank
then we'll
you
get
so
to
much.
That. Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think it's more of a statement slash something I'd kind of like you all to talk a bit about for our committee that I think we haven't really brought up, and that's the work that you plan to do. By way of this bill. We're talking about the need, which is great, and we know that that's super important, but I think it might be really good if you talk about the work that you plan to do through this,
yes.
And I think that would be helpful.
So working in partnership with the department, the hope here is the creation of a committee that would hopefully come back in the near future with a P20 plan that really sort of focuses on African-American student achievement, that has clear sort of deliverables, really working statewide to sort of align resources and action toward specific goals.
Yeah, I think my hope is that some of those things, like bringing together the spirit of the Minority Teachers Act to start getting more people of color within the schools, working within the schools and seeing what other kind of remedies can we do in the short term by not having them there. And I think one of them is really working with CBOs and having CBOs participate, because CBOs are part of the community. And if the communities aren't working with schools, we always want to talk about engagement. Well, that's school engagement when we get CBOs working with the schools to do what's right within the school. So we know we have markers out there, and we know that if we hit those markers, then we're going to start achieving those things. But at some point, we really have to start working towards that and making that happen.
Okay. Any other questions of the panel?
Thank you.
Pardon. And okay. And Ms. Wimmer, you wanted to. Did you have some, you guys any have anything to add?
If I could, Chair, Representative, just to your question. Part of the reason I referenced the Indian Education Plan is because of the way that we went about doing that work. And really, it was a process of engaging the community, the Native American community in the state of Oregon, and specifically the nine sovereign tribes. I'll spit that out in a second. And really listening about what kind of work needs to be done, how we would go about that in a most effective way to meet the needs of the students that we're attempting to serve. And then, you know, one of the really important parts for me was that it would be a plan that would actually move the dial on outcomes for students. And change where we are, and that it's a plan that's completely doable. So looking at it, I mean, one of the parts that was really big for me was attending those meetings and saying, yes, we can do that. No, we might not be able to do that, but let's talk about something else that would get us where we want to go, because it's going to be really important that we listen intently to the community and engage so that we make sure that we have a plan that, when followed, gets us where we need to get to. And that we, the Department of Education, cannot do that in isolation. And educators cannot do that in isolation. It can only be done in partnership and with great listening to the African American community in the state of Oregon, to the community-based organizations who know how to do this work, and putting a plan together that's deliverable and will deliver on the outcome we're looking for. So we think we did that with the Indian Education Plan. I'd love to send you a copy of that if you'd like to see it, or any member of the committee who would. Perhaps I can just send it out to the committee administrator, who can send that to you so you can have an example of what we're talking about.
Okay, can I follow up?
Quickly, because we're running out of time here. We want to make sure everyone has a chance to speak.
That's what I was looking for, so thank you, Mr. Saxon, for reiterating that. And that's how we'll get to the amendment that we're talking about, and that's what will drive the success of what we're working for. So thank you for that. That's what I was looking for.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Representative Reardon and Representative McLean.
Will this listening be in form of public meetings that people can be invited to and could attend?
Chair Doherty, Representative Reardon, yes.
I really appreciate being on your list of meetings or schedule.
Gladly.
Okay, thank you. Representative McLean.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that I support this concept entirely, and especially because what it does is it really indicates that there are cultural and there are experiential types of backgrounds that show that students have different experiences that bring them to those classrooms with different needs. And I really go along with the idea that this starts with a listening post, and it starts with listening to the community, listening to those students and their parents and to others who are there to help us understand where we have those gaps. And so I look forward to hearing more about it. And I also would love to have you send that report to the administrator so I could look at it.
Get it out.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions of this panel? Thank you very much. Actually, we're going to bring up Lori Wimmer and Sam Sapp and Joe McFerrin.
Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you very much for testifying. And I was going to say, if any of the students are here today that would like to testify, we'd be glad to hear from you. Okay, we'll start with you.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. For your record, Lori Wimmer, representing 42,000 members of the Oregon Education Association. I'll be very brief. We're just here in support of the bill and the amendments, and we look forward to working with the advocates to fine-tune some of the language so that we really can drill down to the various different kinds of barriers that impact student experiences in our education system, with an eye to having something concrete by way of remedies. Mm-hmm. And so it is our honor to be a part of it, and we offer our wholehearted support. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Sam Sapp. I'm just Joe Blow citizen.
Yeah. But guys don't have to be so close to the microphone. It will pick up your melodic tones.
What I have to say is I'm an old guy. I've got 3 children, 9 grandchildren, and 4 great-grandchildren. And because of that, education is one of the most important parts of my life. And I cannot see any reason why anyone would want to make any child lack because of funding. It has to be for all of our children. And that's all I've got to say. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much, sir.
Madam Chair, members of the Education Committee, my name is Jill McFerrin, President and CEO of Portland OIC and the Rosemary Anderson High School. I'm here in support of House Bill 2016 and the amendments here presented. Rosemary, I've been with the organization for 20 years, and I can say that our organization, our core service is working with kids, high school age kids who are not successful with the high school public system. And in my 20 years, it has been disheartening to engage with and work with so many African-American students who, for whatever reason, end up in a program like ours at 16, 17, 18 with so many deficits in their education, having spent so much time in the public school system. To me, it's a travesty. It's something that annoys me. It bothers me to my core. It is something that I'm motivated by each and every day as I work with our community partners and including school districts. The other part of our work, we spend a lot of time working with the juvenile justice system. And I can tell you that what happens to these African American students is that after they fail in the public school system, they end up in the criminal justice system. Here in this state, in our county, for every one white kid that ends up in the juvenile justice system, there are 4 to 5 African-American youth that end up in the juvenile justice system. For every one white kid that goes from the juvenile justice system to the adult criminal system, there are 5 African-Americans. This bill is an effort to get at that. I see so many young people. I look at them in the eye. I see them every day. And I understand that they really don't have a chance at the American dream. And it's a travesty. I'm confident. I'm optimistic with efforts of this bill and working with our communities locally and statewide, that we can truly make a difference. So I'm here pleading for your support, and I look forward to working with you to address this all-important issue. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any questions of this panel? Okay, thank you so very much. Those are the only ones that we had signed up for House Bill 2016. Is there anyone else that would like to speak on it? Okay, if not, I will close the public hearing on House Bill 2016, and this is one that will be I'm going to carry over to Monday, and then it will be carried over on Monday's agenda to go through and deal with the bill. So we have to wait with our process for amendments and all this kind of thing before we can move it. But thank you very much. Okay, with that, did I close the public hearing?
You can do it again.
Okay, I close the public hearing on 2016 and open up a work session on House Bill 3499. Okay, Cindy Hunt. And while Cindy's coming up, is this?
3499?
Yeah. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3499, the committee's been asked to consider the -3 amendments. For the -3s, there is a fiscal light statement issued and a revenue impact statement issued. It does have a subsequent referral to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means. The -3s do a number of things, so bear with a long explanation. The -3s replace the introduced measure. The -3s establish an advisory group to develop uniform budget and coding requirements and reporting requirements and requires the State Board of Education to adopt rules related to uniform budget coding requirements no later than January 1, 2016. It sunsets that advisory group the next day. It also establishes a work group that requires the group and requires the group to identify criteria for determining if a school district is not meeting objectives and needs of ELL students or if a school district is in need of targeted assistance. It's to determine information necessary for school districts to report on ELL student progress with a specific focus on long-term ELL students. To identify technical assistance to be provided by the Department of Education and guidelines for expenditure of all ELL program monies, and that is to be completed by January 1st, 2016. It further requires the work group to make specific recommendations for best practices relating to ELL students and programs. It also requires the group to determine best practices relating to specific support services and requires all of those determinations to be completed by January 1st, 2017. It sunsets that work group on January 2nd, 2017. And then requires an annual report relating to ELL expenditures and outcomes with the first filing of the report to be no later than September 1, 2016. It further requires a biennial report to the Legislative Assembly on the results of the ELL report. Finally, it updates the definitions of ELL, English Language Learner, and requires a statewide plan to support ELL students. It directs the department to identify the school districts not meeting the objectives and needs of ELL students. It establishes an account for statewide activities related to ELL programs. It requires a $12.5 million biennial distribution from the state school fund to that account, and it changes the term English as a second language to English language learner. Finally, it declares an emergency effective July 1, 2015.
Okay. With that, Ms. Hunt.
Chair Doherty, Cindy Hunt, Oregon Department of Education. I've been in front of you, I think, twice before on this bill. The amendments that I had discussed, I think it was last week or the week before, are largely the same as the Dash 3 amendments that you have in front of you. I'm happy to answer any questions. Your committee administrator just gave an excellent recitation of what's in the amendments. On a simple level, essentially the amendments do three things. So there's budget and reporting. So we're going to have better budgeting and reporting based on how much money districts are spending on ELL students. There's going to be a work group. It's going to be for a couple of months. And then we're going to have reports that we can use across the state. So that's number one. Number two, there's going to be an ELL system of supports and interventions similar to the Focus and Priority School model that we've been doing for the last 3 years. We're going to be based on the advice of another work group that is temporary in nature as well, identifying districts for more supports. That is what the bulk of the money of the $12.5 million is going to go to, roughly $10 million for a biennium. For this biennium, though, it would be cut in half of that, so that's $5 million. Okay. Those schools would be identified in 2016. And then finally, there's going to be the rollout of the statewide ELL plan. And you heard recently, you know, in another bill that was just in front of you about the kinds of plans that we do at the agency. Well, the ELL plan is another one of those kinds of plans, okay? And the plan would very specifically focus on schools that in the bill are called targeted schools. So they're not those lowest schools. They're kind of the next one up. And so we would be doing, you know, professional development, open online courses that teachers could log into and do learning around ELL, professional development, that kind of thing. And so that's basically the three components that are in the bill. The other big component that I think you heard Richard refer to was the carve-out of the $12.5 million, and it's up to $12.5 million. So like I said, in the fiscal that we turned in, our estimate was $8.5 million for this next biennium, and then the biennium after that is $12.5
million. Okay. I know that Representative Gallegos is here, and we're here to just to answer questions. And the one question I have, and this comes from Representative Wisnett, asked for an accounting of, and you guys do this, of where the ELL money is, the extra money that is in the formula, whether how is that distributed, and is that in the bill?
So there's a reporting on budgeting from school districts, and the language that was in the bill was taken out of. And I don't want to mislead the committee. It was taken out of, I believe, Representative Wisnett's bill or his amendments. Mm-hmm. But I know there's been different versions, but it was substantially the same.
Okay.
But there are some other components that were in his bill.
Got it.
So,
yeah, it was that one thing we were looking at.
Yeah.
Okay, any other questions of Ms. Hunt? Representative Hack.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So just want to be clear, $12.5 million, no more than that. And this will put districts who are not performing on a plan after 3 years, correct? Or is it
four years?
4 years, then they're on a plan for three. It will be primarily to be services that pull kids into class, not pulling them out. So I just want to make sure that, for the record, that it's inclusionary, not pulling kids out. I don't want to see kids, I don't want to see more separation between ELL students. I want it to be more inclusionary. So I just want to make sure that that is where we're headed.
Yeah. Chair Doherty, Representative Hack, one of the components of the bill also is the advisory group is being asked to come up with recommendations around what is a long-term ELL student, you know, and what kind of supports should those students have, and shining a brighter light on ELL students that stay in longer. So one of the goals of the work group and the plan is that students would not be in ELL as long as what they are now. Mm-hmm. So that's a component of this. You had asked specifically, is it $12.5 million? So the carve-out from the state school fund says up to $12.5 million, and the fiscal that we turned in, you know, I think this morning, like I said, was under that.
Can I have one follow-up?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. One other piece that I think would be important to districts, on the reporting side, it's going to take time to do that. I think in order to get buy-in and to really get quality reporting, it would be important to allow some admin cost out of those dollars. Is that going to be appropriated through ODE to allow districts to be able to have some funds available for the time and cost incurred for the additional reporting that they'll be required to do?
Yeah, Chair Doherty, Representative Hack, the districts that are going to be identified as priority districts, they will be receiving some funds. It's going to be per school roughly $60,000. But again, those would be the priority districts. The districts that are in that kind of targeted list, they would be receiving some funds for that professional development kinds of activities. It would be probably less than $60,000. Regarding all districts and their reporting, one of the things that we are incorporating the uniform budget and accounting portion of the bill into is there's this manual called the Uniform Budget and Accounting Manual. We periodically update this. So to make this smoother for districts, we would be incorporating these changes into the usual updates, you know, for that manual. But as far as all districts getting monies under this bill, I don't anticipate that all districts will.
So one more follow-up. But all districts will be required to do the reporting, but not all districts will be getting increased dollars to do that?
Chair Doherty, Representative Hack, that is correct.
I don't see it. That could be a problem.
Okay, any other questions? Quickly, please.
Yeah, I'm in complete support of this legislation, but, you know, devil's in the details. And that is that, you know, we want to put money where it's needed for particular services, for particular groups of students that really need that support. But again, I think that Representative Hack brings up a good point. And that is that if you're doing a good job right now, you're going to end up with no money and extra reporting because they're not going to be on the list of 32 priority schools. And so I do think it's important to recognize the fact that every time we go toward a focused program for a good reason, for real needs and with real issues, that we are taking money away from other schools that may have high population of students with these types of needs but have done better than 32 other schools in the state. So I think we have to be practical about the fact that if you are going to ever need more resources for those 32 schools and it's taking away from the other school districts, that we need to have further conversation.
Exactly. Thank you very much. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much, Cindy. Okay, with that, we're still in a work session, so I'd seek a motion, please.
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the -3 amendments to House Bill 3499, dated April 16th, 2015.
Okay. Representative Frederick moves to adopt the -3 amendments to House Bill 3499, dated April 16th, 2015. Is there any discussion? Representative Springer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I'm really glad. Of course, this has to go to Ways and Means, and, mm-hmm. and I'm glad that it is. I still have some questions about the money piece, and how districts are going to do this. So I'm glad it's going to Ways and Means. I'm going to support it here and be looking at those numbers carefully when it gets down there.
Thank you very much. Any discussion?
Thank you, Madam Chair. So I guess it's a question that hopefully can be answered here. So I want to support this, but can't be supportive unless that can be taken care of. So can the question then be taken care of in Ways and Means that districts would be, so we can take care of that in Ways and Means that districts would be taken care of on the new burden set upon them to administer what we're asking them to do? Because I'm not comfortable being a yes without that being addressed. And I mean, I like the bill, but I don't want to put more work on districts without paying for that.
Kind of was directed to me, if I may.
Oh, sure, please. That's sure. What I was looking at. Sure.
So everybody's directing it at me. I certainly can't guarantee anything, but I'll be bringing this up in Ways and Means as we look at this bill. You know, we're sending it to Ways and Means. We're talking about a $12 million carve-out. We're talking about a lot of money pieces here, which is why it's going to that committee, which is the right place to have those conversations. I'll certainly be bringing it up. I don't make guarantees of anything I can deliver.
Okay. Quickly. I may be a no here then until we clean that up, and then may change my vote to a yes when it hits the floor if that happens.
Thank you very much. Any other discussion? Quickly. Very quickly.
I'm not sure to how involved the districts really are in the coding, because there's a group, and somebody else out there probably knows more than I do about this, but they develop a common budget codes. Some organization is going to do that. And then the districts simply have to punch in the numbers. So you're identifying more carefully how the money is being spent. So I really would be doubtful if it's a big burden on individual districts. Mm-hmm. It's just an opinion.
Okay.
There you go.
I can say something.
Okay. Madam Chair, Representative Heck.
Districts here that are shaking their head.
To the extent that committee staff is comfortable wading into joint Ways and Means, I think that there is a carve-out, an existing carve-out that requires for district support related to ELL programs, which this would fall under. So if the measure does not, if your question is not answered in the measure, it is certainly within the purview of Ways and Means to address your concerns.
You'll see these are Ways and Means concerns, so, but they can bring it up. Any other questions? Okay, our discussion. Representative Frederick?
Yes, Chair Doherty, I move. Well, you haven't voted yet.
Excuse me, we need to. Is there any further discussion?
Yeah, prior to that. There does seem to be quite a bit of discussion here and uneasiness about the bill that we're being asked to vote on. And it seems like, you know, the things that are discussed and our issues here should be worked out in this committee rather than Ways and Means.
Well, I tell you, what I'm going to do is, if those are still questions after the Ways and Means process, we'll get them cleaned up on the Senate side, because if bills do not get voted out of this committee by Monday, they die. That's the kind of timeline that we're under, and I've got a tremendous list of bills for the next two sessions. So if that's what a concern is, a lot of those are worked out in Ways and Means. If not, what we'll do, and if it's still a concern and the question has not been answered, we'll make sure that it's answered on the Senate side.
Are we supposed to trust that?
Yes. Yes, you can trust me. So, okay, any other discussion? Okay, is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 3499 to the floor as amended, with a do pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Yes. It's now music class.
ET, come on.
This is weird.
Just a second before you vote on it.
The governor's calling.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3499 musically to the floor as amended with a do pass recommendation, and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Are you speaking, Representative Wilson?
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just can't go with it at this point in time. My trust in you is impervious, but I'm just concerned about what's going on. I just have a hard time getting there at this point. I've been warned about carve-outs for my own districts and seeing money removed from the school fund, and so I'm going to have to sit this one out with a no.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none, will the clerk read the roll, please?
Representative Bratto?
No.
Representative Hack?
No.
Representative Plank?
Aye.
Representative Paluso?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Polson?
No.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, the motion passes. And with that, I close a work session on House Bill 3499 and open up a work session on House Bill 3069. Richard, if you could read it, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3069 does a number of things. The committee's been asked to consider the Dash 1 amendments, which replace the measure. The Dash 1s direct the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission to adopt rules to require students in education programs to enable pupils to meet or exceed third grade reading standards by the end of third grade. They also mandate that any education program unable to plan to meet the requirements under this rule within 1 year report to the TSPC about that requirement.
Okay, Representative Johnson, you got questions about explanation of the new amendments?
Explanation. Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee, and Mark Johnson, House District 52. And for the record, I will say that spending a few minutes in the back row of your committee room is much more enlightening than the back row of revenue at 1 o'clock. Most of people there are like half asleep, but people are fully engaged to what's going on here. So kudos. The subject matter here is enlightening and educational. So thank you for allowing us to give you the amendment, Dash 1 amendment to House Bill 3069. Just a little review of what this bill was about, or what it's intended to do is to ensure that all teacher candidates have been able to demonstrate knowledge in the science of reading instruction. Oregon currently does not require a rigorous reading assessment tool to ensure that elementary teacher candidates are prepared in the science of reading instruction prior to entering the classroom. And I think this topic really dovetails really well with the public hearing you had earlier about standards and about Superintendent Saxon was here talking about that really important concept about raising outcomes for our students. So the amendment that we have, we worked on closely with various stakeholders from the actual teaching institutions, with Chalkboard Project and so forth. But basically, in a nutshell, the new language that we have, I really like, and I think it really hits the nail on the head. It says that the commission, and this would be the Teacher Standards and Practices Commission, shall adopt rules that require teacher education programs to demonstrate that students enrolled in the programs receive training to provide instruction that enables pupils to meet or exceed third grade reading standards and become proficient readers by the end of third grade as designated by the State Board of Ed. And then it goes on to talk about how they can demonstrate this. It says a teacher education program can make the demonstration through course curriculum, approved textbooks, or other programs requirements, and teacher education program that is unable to make the demonstration shall then simply just provide a plan to meet the requirement within 1 year and shall report to the commission on the progress of implementing that plan. So again, we've worked with stakeholders on this. I think the language is good. I would notice or just point out that in all this you've got a letter of support from Sue Hildick of Chalkboard Project. I think Kylie may be behind us today too, saying that they think that this actually dovetails very well with a policy bill that passed out of the Senate earlier this session. It currently sits in Ways and Means. It's Senate Bill 78 that was a chalkboard bill. And that is a bill that requires teacher education programs to be accredited by a national organization that represents teachers, policymakers, and teacher educators, and that provides accreditation based on nationally recognized standards and on evidence-based resources. So what we're trying to do across the board here, I think, this session is to just elevate the teacher training programs in our teacher training institutions to ensure that the teachers that come out into to work with our kids in our classrooms are as effectively trained as they possibly can so that they can meet the needs of our students and be able to provide effective instruction. And again, it's about getting outcomes. You know, we've talked about earlier, you know, just how important third grade reading is. It is absolutely probably the most important investment we can make. So if we can make sure our teachers are equipped to interact with and help and facilitate that in all of our students, that would be a wonderful thing. And I would just add one more corroborating or support, language of support here. This is from Linda Samick, who is the dean of the teaching school at George Fox University.
who turns out a lot of teachers, obviously, she says, I think the language is reasonable and should not be a particular burden, but emphasizes a very important skill for teachers. And she's traveling today, so she wasn't able to be here with us. So with that, I would just be happy to answer any questions and appreciate your support.
If you have any questions of Representative Johnson? Okay, good explanation. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3069, dated April 2nd, 2015.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 3069, dated April 2nd, 2015. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none, is there any objection? Okay, seeing none, the adoption or the amendment is adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 3069 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3069 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Would clerk read the roll, please?
Representative
Hatt. Aye.
Representative
McClain. Aye.
Representative Paluso.
Aye.
Representative Reardon.
Aye.
Representative Wilson.
Aye.
Representative Barreto.
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick.
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer.
Aye.
Chair Doherty.
Aye. Okay, the motion passes. And we need a carrier. We assume that would be Representative Johnson. He's gone, but he's headed east.
Give it to him. He's not here. Give it to him. He's not here.
Yeah, okay, well, if you don't show up, you get that. You have to do it. Okay, with that, I close a work session on House Bill 3069. Open up a work session on House Bill 3151.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. House Bill 3151. Does a number of things. It was last heard in committee on Wednesday. The committee's been asked to consider the Dash 4 amendments, which replace the measure, establish the task force on virtual public charter schools, gives that task force direction, and the difference between the Dash 4s and the Dash 2s is that there's one designated representative on the task force from virtual charter schools and one representative from charter schools.
What's the difference between that and the Dash 3, then?
Madam Chair, Representative Barreto, the Dash 2s designated two representatives from charter schools. The Dash 3s designated two representatives from virtual charter schools. The Dash 4s designate one and one.
That's right.
Okay. Okay, any other questions? Okay. Seeing none?
Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to... Here. House Bill 3151, dated April 16th, 2015.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves to adopt the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 3151, dated April 16th, 2015. Is there any discussion? Representative Barreto?
Yeah, I think I like the Dash 3s better, so I'll be voting no on this, or you can put me in opposition, I guess.
Okay, thank you. So that's the discussion. There is an objection. Any other discussion?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Yes,
Chair.
You
Madam Chair.
You
are
today.
Thank you so much. First of all, I'm very pleased that we're not moving the original bill and that it has been amended to this. And of course, I was a fan of the threes, but that's okay. And I will be supporting these amendments. And I just want to say we do lots of work groups on onlines and virtuals, and probably if this bill had come to me as this, I probably wouldn't be supporting it. But I'm very grateful that we've moved back from the original bill, and I think that this gives us an opportunity to look at things. So thank you.
Great, thank you. Any other discussion? Any other objection? Okay, see none. The amendment is adopted. Representative Frederick?
Chair Doherty.
Did I do something wrong?
We just make sure the representative has the objection.
Yes, and Representative Barreto's objection is on the record.
Okay. Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 3151 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3151 to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation and that it be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Tia, could you read the roll, please?
Representative
Aye.
Representative Paluso?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Barreto?
No.
Representative Hack?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Doherty?
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion passes and is on its way to Ways and Means. Okay, so I close the work session on House Bill 3151 and open up a work session on 6257. House Bills 6257. 2657.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2657 directs the State Board of Education not to consider days of pupils absent when determining aggregate days membership for purposes of state school fund distributions. The committee was asked to consider some amendments. But for today's hearing, the committee's been asked to move the measure to the Committee on Rules by the Office of the Speaker, and a revenue and fiscal light statement have each been issued for that to that effect.
Okay.
Chair Daugherty, I move House Bill 2657 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules and then to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 2657 without recommendation to the Committee on Rules and then to the Committee on Revenue with by prior reference. Is there any discussion? Okay, seeing none. Tio, could you read the roll again, please?
Representative Peluso?
Aye.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Wilson?
Aye.
Representative Barreto?
Aye.
Representative Hack?
No.
Representative McClain?
Aye.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Aye.
Vice Chair Springer?
Aye.
Chair Daugherty?
Aye. Okay, with that, the motion passes and the measure is sent to the Committee on Rules. Okay, I close work session on House Bill 2657 and open up a work session on House Bill 2712. Speak on it. We're not going to vote on this one today.
Yes,
but, but since the 2700s have kind of moved around,
right,
there's going to be an explanation of this bill.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2712 does a number of things. The dash ones are available on OLISH. They replace the measure and require the State Board of Education to adopt standards for creation, use, custody, and disclosure of student education records. They do a number of other things as well.
Chair Daugherty,
mm-hmm.
You have heard about these particular issues. They were four different bills that have been now combined into one. You've heard about all of them. They are attempts to deal with student privacy issues that I think are different than what we may see on a much larger student privacy issue, privacy bill that I believe is coming over from the Senate. But I think that this helps parents and students really get a sense of what records are available and how to access those records for themselves, and to understand what kind of corrections might be needed. Take a look at if you haven't had a chance to look at the amendment, please do. Because it does do a number of things. There are some concerns about some of the fiscal issues, and so we've been talking about that, and I just got an email from Jan she sent it a while ago, but I just got a chance to look at it, so on those issues. So please take a look at it.
Okay, thank you. So this bill is not moving today. We're still looking at amendments. The amendments have not come through, so but we're here if you have any questions of Representative Frederick.
Please get to me if you can.
So we're carrying it over?
Pardon?
Or is it carried over or just going away?
Yes. Being carried over until Monday. So any other questions? Okay, with that, I close the work session on House Bill 2712. And where's my script? And I open up a work
Madam
session.
Chair?
Yes.
Before you open that,
mm-hmm.
can I ask if on 2657 that I just voted on, if I could change my vote on that? Is that a possibility?
I don't know. What are the rules?
Need a motion to suspend the rules.
Okay. Okay. I need a motion to suspend the rules to have Representative Barreto.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to suspend the rules for purposes of Representative Barreto having an opportunity to vote again.
Okay.
And on House Bill.
On House Bill
2657.
2657.
2657. Okay. Is there any objection? I see none. Representative
Barreto. Want an explanation?
Pardon?
Do you need an explanation? No.
Only if you ask.
Well, the only thing is, you know, as I look at these.
First of all, I have to ask you how you vote, and then.
Yeah, I'll vote
an
no.
Explanation.
Okay. Yeah. And it seems, you know, when we pass these on to another committee, I got to think, I was going to be a no vote on this if it came up for a vote in committee. Mm-hmm. And it seems like if we pass it off to another committee, it's just an easy way to get rid of it without voting. And I just thought, you know, I'll just say no.
Okay. Thank you. Because we are passing this on without recommendation.
I know.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. So with that, I need to... We've done that. Open up a work session on this one?
Yep. That's
okay, I'm going to open up a work session on House Bill 3319. Richard?
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 3319 is the bill that Representative Taylor spoke to earlier. The dash ones replace the measure and require school districts to report to the Department of Education on high school graduation rates and reducing chronic absenteeism.
Okay. And as I said, that was the one that, yeah.
Okay, Chair Doherty, I move to adopt the dash one amendments to House Bill 3319, dated April 6, 2015.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves to adopt the dash one amendments to House Bill 3319, dated April 16, 2015. Is there any discussion? Okay.
I do.
Yes, Representative Springer.
I think this is a great idea, and our dropout rate is too high. If our dropout rate is 1%, it's too high. Mm-hmm. That said, as I look at the first section of this, and I'm not sure if I heard Representative Taylor address this or not, it talks about each school district shall submit a report to the Department of Ed, mm-hmm, describing the strategies or activities used. Do we have any idea at this point what that report looks like? Are they filling in the blanks of something ODE is creating, or are they saying we do X? They're sending a narrative. What does that look like?
Well, I can make speculation unless there's somebody here that would know about reports.
Jen looks
because
like she
right
might
now,
know.
I mean, they already do report on this. And as I say, the purpose that we're looking for is not to have 197 districts listed and the 54th one doesn't have one. And so we look at them and go like this, and the 97th doesn't have one. It's the idea of listing the districts that have programs, things that they've done that's worked so other people could glean on it. But what the reporting method is, do we know? ODE?
I would love to hear from Jan, if we could. And Fred.
Sure, we could bring anybody you want.
Could you?
Huh? He wants a recess. Okay.
You're fine.
Okay. You don't need a note.
Chair Doherty,
yes.
Members of the committee, Jan McComb for the Department of Education, and with me is Brian Reeder, mm-hmm, our research analyst extraordinaire, and we both met with the good representative on this bill and talked about possible ways of doing the reporting. Mm-hmm. I think our goal was to make it pretty easy on school districts, but Brian has thought about it longer than I have, so I would turn it over to him.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Mr. Reeder.
Chair Doherty, for the record, Brian Reeder, Assistant Superintendent in the Research Office at the Department of Education. I think the department would need to do a little work on this before we'd know exactly what it looked like, but the purpose of this is to get information on very specific activities and programs that districts have in place to address the dropout issue, to address the chronic absentee issue. What we're not looking for are simple statements like, well, everything we do is intended to reduce the dropout rate. What we're trying to ascertain are very specific activities directed specifically at assisting students in overcoming barriers to high school graduation, overcoming barriers to regular attendance. So we will be asking very specific questions about very specific activities and programs.
So it could be something that in each of our middle schools we have hired family resource counselors that are bilingual, and their duties are to go through and you know, track down kids that aren't coming in and finding out what the problems are. At our high schools, we've hired four other counselors whose responsibility is, you know, that kind of thing.
Chair Doherty, that's exactly right. And the real purpose of this, and we hear from school districts a lot about needing assistance in understanding what kind of activities are effective and what kind aren't. And so the real goal is to help distribute useful information to school districts throughout the state to help them do a better job.
So it's like the example I just gave, and our dropout rate was lowered by 12%, as opposed to this is what we did and our dropout rate increased by 12%.
Chair Doherty, that's exactly right. And what we were able to do then at the department is correlate the answers on this data gathering exercise with what we already know about student achievement and so forth. And so we don't have right now a lot of information on dropouts other than who dropped out.
Mm-hmm.
In trying to understand what school districts and individual schools are doing to help prevent that, we don't have much information on that. Okay. So that's the intent.
Okay. Representative Springer?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I don't know that this is really a question to you, Brian, or not. It may be. But I've been invited to different meetings. We're all invited to a ton of meetings. And one of them I've gone to is the local ESD brings all the component districts to the table. And they talk about these kinds of things. So I'm wondering if there are a few goals more important than eliminating a dropout rate, which I think should be the goal, eliminating it. So that said, there seems to be some efforts here. I'm wondering if this is just creating ODE to be the clearinghouse of the ideas when we likely, and I believe, have idea sharing going on outside that realm. Is that remotely a fair statement?
Chair Doherty, Representative Springer, I actually on occasion attend those very same ESD meetings and bring them to the superintendents, and I think they do a lot of ESDs. That's a great place to do that. In some sense, ODE is a clearinghouse for all of the information that we gather from school districts. I would argue very strongly that we are very good at collecting information. We do it very efficiently. We have a lot of work to do in presenting it in a more usable form on our website, but I think we're making great strides there as well. And so in terms of facilitating the sharing of useful information, I would think the department is in a good position to do that.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Representative Reardon and Representative Bretto and Frederick.
So would the intent be to find out things across the full K through 12 spectrum? I mean, would you look at what happened, what our district's doing in the last 4 years as opposed to what do we do up front, which we know that if kids are more successful grades 1 through 3, chances are they're going to be more successful through the whole program. So is it one end of the spectrum or the other, or just whatever they happen to tell you?
Chair Doherty, Representative Reardon, I would anticipate that we will ask very specific questions that would span the entire spectrum, understanding that a critical piece of this is likely to be when you have kids who are behind when they hit high school, that you have to do much more specific things to prevent dropouts and promote graduation in the early grades. Simply keeping students on track may be the very best thing you can do. So I think as you get closer to graduation time, efforts need to be much more focused than they are in the early grades. Not to discount the importance of early grades. I mean, the research tells us that those are absolutely critical. But I would think that as you get closer to graduation time, that assistance for individual students that's very targeted may be the information we need at that point becomes much more detailed.
Good morning, Tony. Would a report include the ask for the cost of certain interventions if that's what it is. Or.
Chair Doherty, Representative Reardon, I think we would entertain that. As I said, I think we still have some work to do to understand exactly what information we'd like to gather. You know, we have, you know, asking questions about the level of resource in terms of people, teachers, counselors, and so forth, actually gives us a very good idea of what the cost is when we combine that with the other data that the department has.
Okay. And I want to make it clear, this bill is not designed to go through and have the school districts have to spend so much time and work and get down to the minutia. That might be something down the road once they've got this section filled out, and then they can fill out section two, and then, you know, whatever. But the whole idea is not to make this burdensome on the school districts.
Or like a focus group.
Yep. So anyway, Representative Barreto.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems like if you're doing a program like this and you're trying to get to find out how you get the best results, it seems like you would take like the top 10% of the school districts or the top 5% that have the best graduation rates and just ask them rather than comprehensively all of them. You know, you would want to get the ideas from the ones that are producing, wouldn't you?
Chair Doherty, Representative Barreto, certainly that's useful information. One method that we've used at the department is to look at the top performers and the bottom performers and try to understand what they're doing differently. One thing that we do know is that school districts and individual schools vary tremendously around the state in the demographics of their students and so forth. So even a district that appears to be doing moderately well in that regard, given their circumstances, they may be doing extremely well. And so I think it's not enough just to look at the extremes.
Representative Frederick.
Yes, thank you. And I'll try to be brief here. I am concerned you're talking a lot about active efforts in terms of keeping kids in school and avoiding the drop. There are a lot of non-active things that have been very effective as well, and that includes after-school programs, music, sports, those kinds of things, and an increased number of counselors. Now, maybe that's more active. Portland Public Schools just announced that they're going to try to get to a 400-to-1 student-counselor ratio, which is good. They were much higher than that, but those are. You'll be primarily asking for what things are you specifically using to target dropouts? Is that correct?
Chair Doherty, Representative Frederick, that's the way I'm anticipating. But as I said, we need to look at it in more detail. Clearly, some of those things that are not specifically targeted at reducing dropouts or increasing attendance. Do have the impact of engaging students and then in fact have those positive outcomes. So clearly we need to understand those as well.
Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Any other discussion? Okay. Is there objection
on the motion?
On the amendment to adopt the amendment. Okay, seeing none, the amendment is adopted.
Chair Doherty, I move House Bill 3319 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
Okay, Representative Frederick moves House Bill 3319 as amended to the floor. By the way, thank you very much. With a do pass recommendation, is there any discussion? Representative Springer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Very briefly, I think this is a great idea, talking about graduation rates and dropout rates, and I've seen schools have these conversations with each other. I've been a part of them. They're doing this work. They need to do more of the work until we're at 100% graduation rate. I'm not going to be voting for this bill because I'm concerned about the added reporting piece to the districts when they're having these conversations already.
Okay, thank you. Any other discussion? Okay, seeing none. Will the clerk read the roll, please?
Representative Reardon?
Yes.
Representative Wilson?
No.
Representative Barreto?
No.
Representative Hack?
No.
Representative McClain?
Yes.
Representative Peluso?
Yes.
Vice Chair Frederick?
Yes.
Vice Chair Springer?
No.
Chair Doherty?
Yes. Okay, with that, the motion passes. And we'll have Representative Taylor carry the bill. Okay. With that, that is all that we have left, but we are going to be carrying over the following bills for Monday. We'll just
circle
the
one. Circle.
Okay, House Bill 3166, House Bill 3389, House Bill 20.
Wait, that's 016, shoot.
Okay.
That's this bill.
Okay.
2316.
Oh, House Bill 2016, House Bill 3072, House Bill 3363. And House Bill 2712. And so we have those carried over along with the ones that we have on Monday. So I encourage you guys to have a nice weekend, but be here on time Monday so we can get going, because we do have another bill to have a public hearing. And just so you can plan this for the weekend, we do plan on April 24th not to be meeting on that Friday. So you guys can be working upstairs in your offices.
Madam Chair, I just want to say a big thank you for how quickly you moved us through today.
Yes. You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you. So with that, I will adjourn the House Committee. Okay, thank you. So with that, I will adjourn the House Committee.